sure is. And very good afternoon to the boys from Goldsborough Financial Services, Will Chapman and Lachlan Harvey. How are you, gents?
Terrific. Thanks, Alan.
Marvellous.
Have you ever seen anything you wish you hadn't have seen that you can share?
Well, we're on Green Hill Road, so regarding Beryl's call, we hadn't seen anything quite as exciting as that, I have to say, but... Not really what we're out there looking
for. It's a ripper. It's a ripper. Yeah. Well, keep the calls coming. Now, we should stress that we're speaking to Will and Lachlan from Goldsborough Financial Services, and we emphasise that any comments we make during this conversation shouldn't be taken as direct advice and acted upon. Instead, you need to give them a call, make an appointment, and they'll come in and they can advise you in person. And they're good boys to do it. Gentlemen, tick tock, tick tock. End of financial year.
Oh, yeah, it's just over a week
to go. I know. Until the end of financial year. Where's the year gone, for God's sake? Bloody hell.
Flies by pretty quickly, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Is it still too late for me to be taking advantage of the superannuation rules?
All right, lots of things you can do before the end of the financial year. Contributing to superannuation is just one of them. But as we've talked about before, this is the first year that people can make super contributions and basically treat them in the same way that salary sacrifice gets treated.
Yep.
And that is... as a tax deduction, which is great for people that have the opportunity or have the funds available to contribute to super and can benefit from that tax deduction. And it's not too late. We do encourage people to check with their individual super funds, though, because depending upon the way that you make that contribution might determine whether that contribution arrives this side or the other side of the financial year. So it might be a little different whether it's paid as an EFT, an electronic funds transfer, or a BPAY contribution. Some super funds will accept a cheque, although you need to know when that cheque is going to be received.
Yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily trust Australia Post as a regular postal service. So they're the main ways that you can contribute to super, also via direct debit as well, by filling out a direct debit form.
If you can't make it before the new financial year, it's still worth doing it, but you just won't get the benefit until next year.
That's right, that's right. You can make a contribution and you may be able to claim a tax advantage next financial year rather than this one.
One of the great things that has occurred with this new rule that has come out and applies for, you know, in this financial year is that many people would say, well, I don't know that I necessarily want a salary sacrifice as I earn the money. You know, if it's August or September, they might need to use some of that money for other cash flow related expenses. So one of the beauties of the new arrangement, I guess, is that people can really, let's just say, accumulate over the course of the year some of those funds that they might have otherwise been putting into super. If they don't need to spend the money and they have that money spare, then they can make the decision at the end of the financial year just to put it in. But as Lachlan mentions, make sure you give yourself enough time that so that the super fund can actually clear the funds in the super account, because it's no good putting it on the 30th if the money doesn't clear in your super account until the 1st or the 2nd of July.
Yeah, absolutely. Will and Lachlan are happy to take your calls. So if you've got any questions or queries about superannuation, insurance, anything to do with your money matters, give us a call, 8223 0000. Talking about super though, gents, we've got an email here from Ray, who has said, I've got serious problems with Super SA. Now, that's the government superannuation scheme.
That's correct,
here,
yes.
Isn't it, in the state of South Australia. I have serious problems with Super SA and wonder who to go to for help. The company I work for is unable to make contributions into my super, as Super SA system isn't working. I've been trying to contact them to alert them of this, but to no avail, with voice messages saying they are too busy. I work for the South Australian government and therefore I'm unable to move to any other provider as they have the monopoly. I'm very frustrated with this and I hope there aren't many people experiencing such terrible services. I'd appreciate any suggestions. I don't think Ray's alone somehow.
No. 210,000 members, I think Super SA has. There's a lot of
this
people.
Is if you're a public servant in South Australia, this is the must-use super scheme, isn't it?
Yeah, and South Australia is the only state of Australia whereby government employees don't have a choice of super funds. So they only have one fund that they can receive their employer contributions to. And yes, we are aware that they have problems at the moment. They're upgrading their computer systems in some way. And of course, we don't represent Super SA, but we are familiar with that problem. I think on the homepage of Super SA's website, there is a statement that outlines what that issue is and when they expect to have it resolved. But we're really conscious that at this time of the year, when people want to call their super funds and say, how much have I contributed this year? And how can I go about making an additional contribution right now? If they can't get through to their super fund on the phone, how do they contact them? I'm not sure what the answer is, and I don't think there's any easy solution.
It's certainly bad planning on their part, isn't it, to be doing this right at the end of the
financial
year.
It's not a great time of year. It's a really busy time of year for super funds. Maybe they could have delayed it until a later date.
All right. If that's you, give us a call. Let us know how whether you've been able to get through that issue or not. 822-3000. Another email here from Eric. He's saying, I'm retired and will be 65 in August. My understanding is that I have super in the UK, around $50,000. How will that affect me regarding my tax here? I live on $40,000 from my super fund here at the moment. So he's got $50,000 in a UK super scheme.
Okay, so bringing UK super into Australia is a really complex area of superannuation law, and you need to get some really very specific advice as to what you need to do there. It used to be a lot easier. Now it's become really quite difficult. The term that I think it's Eric needs to look out for is a QROPS fund.
QROPS.
Yeah, which is just an acronym. And there used to be a lot of funds that met that criteria where you could bring a UK superannuation account into Australia, and now there are very, very few, if any, accounts currently available to do that.
So what should he do? You just make an appointment?
Yeah, he does need to speak to a financial advisor because someone really needs to give him the best quality advice on that.
All right, there you go, Eric. That's the advice. Make an appointment with Lachlan or Will or one of the other team after the show, if you like. We'll give you the phone number at the end of the segment. This time of the year, obviously, you're really busy heading into the end of the financial year. What's the most common issue you're dealing with or inquiry you're dealing with at the moment, Will?
Certainly the delays that are associated with getting money into superannuation. So you've got this 30 June deadline. We're getting calls at the moment about people, not specific to Super SA, but to all super funds who are asking, how much have I put into super? How much can I get into super without breaching any of the caps? We're getting a lot of calls with regards to, unfortunately, some delays with regards to Centrelink. That's actually not an end of financial year problem. It just so happens to be at this time of the year, which compounds the issue because there are some delays in processing all of the pension payment applications that people are making and also getting other information updated. So there's a few things going on at the moment. From our part, the greatest concern is just making sure that if people are looking for either that tax deduction and or looking to just simply get some funds into superannuation before the end of financial year, that it's a bit of a cramped time, and scenarios like you mentioned before with regards to delays for Super SA are probably not helping that too much.
No, absolutely. We probably should, just for those who weren't listening last time we spoke about this, just quickly go through the benefits again. You actually, say, use the example of put $1,000 in, so I actually put an extra $1,000 in my super scheme.
Yes.
I can make a tax deduction from that $1,000 equivalent to my tax threshold. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. So for people that earn between $37,000 and $80,000 a year, they'll be on the 34.5% tax bracket. So if you put $1,000 in, effectively, you can get $340-odd back in your tax when you do your tax return.
Mm.
But it's not that's not the entire benefit because the super fund will deduct 15% tax on the way out. Oh, sorry, on the way in.
On the way
pardon
in.
Me. Yeah, that's right. Mm. So I guess it's close to about a 20% benefit there.
Still better than nothing.
Hey, look, that's right, 20 cents in the dollar. That's a good return on your money.
And that just goes up through the tax breaks, does it?
If you're in the next tax bracket up, you're going to continue. The more you pay in tax, the more the benefit's going to be by putting money in as a concessional contribution. So that's a salary sacrifice contribution. Probably one of the other big things to point out is, of course, whenever somebody's looking at their concessional contribution cap, now without getting too technical, you're allowed to put in before tax $25,000. That's the cap. But that still includes the money that your employer puts in for you. So let's just say you earned $100,000 a year. Mm. Your employer would pay 9.5% as a SG contribution, what we call super guarantee contribution. Yep.
That's compulsory on their part.
That's right. That's compulsory on their part. But that does eat into your concessional contributions cap. So if they'd paid $9,500, then the maximum that you could volunteer to put in pre-tax dollars, essentially as a salary sacrifice, would be $15,500.
Okay.
It takes you up to the 25. So
The 25 includes your employer's contribution.
That's exactly right.
I wasn't aware of that.
And if you go over then you run the risk that the funds will get still taxed at your marginal tax rate, basically.
So how do you know how much your employer has put in so far this year? The only way you're going to know is to contact the super fund and ask them. See a list of transactions, because you can't go on your payslip, because your payslip will say you've received this much super contribution, but they may not have actually paid the super fund yet. They may have allocated it in your pay, but it may not have actually been received by the super fund. Yeah. So the super fund is the last word on how much has been received.
And you can't just rely on your last statement from your super fund either.
Definitely not, because that could be six months or 12 months old. Absolutely. A lot of people do contact their super fund. It's critically important that you have an understanding. If you know that your employer puts money in on the last couple of days of the month or something like that, bear in mind, if you're thinking of taking it right up to the $25,000 and your employer's, you know, you've paid essentially what you think has gone into the super fund, maybe an extra $1,000 because that's what your pay slip says. Mm. But if the employer puts that in on the last couple of days of the month, you need to take that into account as well. Mm. But certainly getting a balance from the super fund is absolutely critical. They'll be able to tell you pretty easily what you've put in as a concessional contribution and a non-concessional contribution, non-concessional being after tax, but it's the concessional one that we're really looking to take advantage of here.
Okay. That's just prompted another question. How long is the delay, the legal delay for an employer to actually put the money in the fund?
Yeah, good question. And it's a good question for a couple of reasons. The short answer is the 28th of the month following the end of the quarter. So at the end of the June quarter, it's the 28th of July, where they have to make all of the super contributions that related to that quarter. Now, they can make it more often.
Quarterly.
They can do it more often than quarterly. Yeah. That's just their last day to pay.
Right, okay. But they have to do it quarterly. So
that's
if you haven't, if your statement comes and it hasn't got the last quarter in it and we've passed the 28th.
That's right.
After that quarter, then they're doing the wrong thing.
Then the tax office can impose a penalty on that employer.
Right. Yeah. Okay, and you bring it to the employer's attention at your own risk in some cases, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's right. It's a tricky thing. Do you dob your employer into the ATO? If your employer's really struggling, do you cut them a bit of slack before you start to dob them into the ATO? These are tricky questions for people to deal with. Could that have negative consequences regarding your relationship with your employer? Sure, it potentially could. Mm. So you just have to be just a little bit conscious of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Individuals' circumstances taken into account on that one. So if you want to speak to the boys from Goldsborough Financial Services, Will Chapman and Lachlan Harvey are with us taking your calls. Paula has called in from Manopara West. Hello, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You've got a question about super?
Yeah, super SA, actually. I think, just to clarify, I think their website is also down.
Oh, okay. It gets worse and worse.
Oh, it does. You don't work for the government, but I won't go there. I've stopped work as of 18 months ago. I did call them nearly over a week ago. It took me an hour, but I did get through. And I've only got a minimum amount, but they're telling me I'll have to pay 17% tax. I think there's not a lot in it. It's just over $20,000. I'm just wondering if that's correct, because I'm hearing 15%.
Now, Paula, can I just clarify, how old are you at the moment?
I'm 70.
Okay, all right. So you qualify to access your superannuation, as everyone over the age of 65 does.
Yes.
Now, the deal with the tax on Super SA is a bit different to most superannuation funds. In most funds, you pay 15% tax upon going into the fund.
Okay.
Super SA works a bit differently. Typically, you pay that tax on the way out of the fund rather than on the way in.
Okay.
So it's 15% tax, but if you take that withdrawal directly into your bank account, then you could be paying Medicare levy on that, and the super fund will withhold it. And that's what brings the 15% up to 17%.
Okay, so would I benefit? She did suggest that I rolled it over into a Flexi account.
Flexible rollover product, is it?
Yes, that way I wouldn't have to pay the extra 2%.
That is correct. So superannuation funds, when they receive a superannuation payment from Super SA, will withhold 15% tax.
Okay.
And that may allow you to receive your benefit by rolling it over first and then taking it as cash without paying that full 17% tax.
Okay. Thank you for that.
And Paula, it's not a difficult process to go through. To be honest, it's a couple of pages and two documents.
They were going to post me out some paperwork, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Well, they're probably working on their website by the sounds.
Yeah, apparently. They want to work on the rest of the health service as well while they're at it.
Good on you. Thanks very much, Paula. All the best with that. Thanks for your call. 8223 0000. Gents, also got an email here from Shane. He's saying, hi, I'm 41, finished work last November, can't get Centrelink, but just paid $14,000 on a private knee operation 3 weeks ago. Have now been told I've paid up front. Because I've paid up front, I can't take the money out of my super scheme. Is there anything I can do? Didn't know about early super before I paid up front. Please help.
It sounds painful. Is it $14,000 for a knee? That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So, firstly, let's just quickly cover off, I guess, with regards to accessing superannuation early, so prior to your preservation age.
At age 41, that's prior to preservation age.
Yeah. So from that regard, then you've got to meet a condition of release. And broadly speaking, a lot of people will meet it under one of, I suppose, multiple conditions. One of those is financial hardship. Financial hardship generally requires that you're actually getting a Centrelink benefit for a period of time, usually 6 months, and then you would be able to apply for this severe hardship clause. Now, the challenge, I suppose, with regards to getting the Centrelink benefit is to ask the question as to why he's not getting any Centrelink. Mm. He may have too much by way of assets or other income to be eligible. So that's, I suppose, the first hurdle we've got to get over. With regards to permanent disablement, which is another potential option, probably doesn't sound like, if he's got a new knee, that's an option. There are also compassionate grounds from the superannuation fund that he can apply for, but I would probably argue that may be a bit more difficult to get.
It is really tricky to get access on under compassionate grounds. You've got to demonstrate that you're in financial stress, particularly that you're... if you've got a home loan or not able to pay your rent, unable to pay a loan or your rent, you've also got to prove that it's a chronic illness. Mm. Okay, so maybe if the knee reconstruction, by the sounds of it, maybe if that classified as a chronic illness, I suppose that could potentially qualify. I'm not sure how you'd go though if you've already paid the bill. Because usually that compassionate grounds is releasing money in order to then pay the bill.
To pay the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting one. Listen, Shane, probably the best advice is to give the guys a call and make an appointment and to have a bit of a chat to them and see what options are open to you. Mm. Before you go, gents, I'm staggered. You sent me something just about scams. The average amount lost to investment scams for people over the age of 55 is $83,896. $83,000
yeah.
in scams.
Yeah. And they are out there, so please, people, just be very, very wary. Don't, for instance, invest your money with someone unless they've provided you with financial advice or a product disclosure statement. Also be very wary of other types of scams. One of the other really big areas of people being scammed out of their dough is dating scams.
Dating, yeah.
And it's huge. It's really big business for those people that are involved in putting together these scams. Another one that I'm coming across all the time is ticketing scams. That's really easy. I mean, it's very hard to tell a genuine ticket for a concert or for a performance.
You soon find out when you turn up for the performance and someone's in your seat.
And these aren't cheap either. These are hundreds of dollars.
We're talking big liners. It's happening all the time. They're just on the dating scams, really popular, as I say, $35,000 is the average loss people are making over dating scams.
Almost $36,000. These numbers are coming out of the ACCC. Mm. They have published an online PDF that you can look up. It's referred to as the Little Black Book of Scams, and it's full of good information about what scams are out there, what people need to be looking for, who they can report to. Of course, we don't want people handing over money, but if it smells a bit fishy, there's a pretty good chance it's a scam, and it is extraordinary how much people are being bombarded with this. So I personally take the attitude that everything's a bit of a scam until you verify it yourself, and you have to go through varying means to be able to identify that. But certainly having dealt with particularly computer systems, and as Lachlan and I have worked in financial, in the financial industry for a number of years, a lot of companies try different scams that will get through to us, and you just have to take a very healthy dose of scepticism.
Be very wary of phone calls from the ATO, phone calls from Centrelink that say you either owe money or they owe you money. Phone calls from computer systems like Microsoft, they don't call you.
No.
If they call you asking for your details, it's probably not them.
Apple or any of them. They don't do that. They just don't do it. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
Yeah.
Good. So the go to the ACCC website and just have a look for the little black book of scams. And there's some great advice on there. And great advice, as always, from Will and Lachlan from Goldsborough Financial Services. They're with us every couple of weeks. You'll find the Goldsborough Financial Services office at 120 Greenhill Road in Unley. And the phone number to make an appointment is 83784000. That's 83784000. Go to the website, goldsborough.com.au. Thanks for your chat today.
Thanks, Alan.
Have a very happy and busy end of financial year last week.
And happy new year to you.
Good luck.
Yes, happy new year.